Celebrate and honor the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm just, I've been excited about this series for about 3 years. And I've worked on it some during the way. As a matter of fact, our own local fellowship here, we've done many, many sermonettes. You see, you didn't even think I could even say that word. But a sermonette's kind of like a grapette, you know, it's just really a taste. But I've done teaching because we practice communion every week as a church, and I've done some many teaching for a couple of years on this. And so you probably have heard what I'm going to say, but this is putting it all together in a series form, and I think you're going to be greatly encouraged. And those of you listening in, looking in, thank you for joining us. This series can be one that will you will testify. You can testify later, this is how I touched Jesus personally. One of the ways that I touched Jesus personally on a regular basis. And it's so exciting what the Lord's done when he set up his table, communion, because it's for us. And it's his way, one of his ways of loving on us personally. Now, that's a great way to look at communion. And so you hang with me. This particular message is kind of an introductory. I'm kind of laying the platform of where we're going and what we're going to do. So it's a little bit different for me as far as the type of sermon. But I want to just be sure that you hang with us, because next week we kick off with some scripture that really gets in the nitty-gritty. That's where I like to be. But we're going to kind of introduce some things this week. I want you to catch our approach to communion. And because the way you approach God is very, very important. It makes a tremendous difference how you approach the Lord. And there's a lot of different ways to approach God, but I'm telling you, it's very important to the Lord how you approach him. And it makes a tremendous difference. And so what we're sharing with you today is kind of our heartbeat in approaching the Lord about communion. All right, do you kind of see where we are? And I think you'll benefit from this. I'm sure of it. I got confidence in the Lord that you will. And there's a number of different views of communion. There's like a traditional view where they kind of put the bread and juice together. They kind of lump it together and say this has to do with the cross. And it does. And it's done in a respectful way, that this is what he's done, and we practice remembering that. And a lot of times in this way, this kind of traditional view, though, there's also a curse warning that's implied in it. And we're going to deal with that in just a week or so. We're going to deal with that. And I think you're going to go through that smiling, because I think the Lord's desire for us is completely different than something to be scared of. And so I think you're going to enjoy it. There's kind of a mystical view out there, and there's some complete groups that kind of look at communion like it's something, and I don't even like this term, but I'm trying to explain it quickly and get on, but almost a magical type of way. They look at communion like the elements are supernatural, you know, just in them physical state. They're supernatural in their natural state, and it's kind of like they present it kind of like you're rubbing a lamp and you want to get something out of it, and that's completely off the wall. There's kind of a memorial approach where that they recognize that this is a nice event, a solemn event that took place in the past, and we're honoring that. And it kind of reminds me of like when people go to the cemetery to see the graveside of a loved one, and it's just kind of you go and remember them and their life, and you go to see the gravestone. And as a matter of fact, those churches, communion kind of seems like a funeral. Okay, they're not supposed to be. But kind of the approach that we take on this is that it's a Thanksgiving view. And when we practice remembering, we're practicing recognizing him presently for what he's done and what he's accomplished. Like the crucifixion just took place. I mean, it's fresh to us. It's an important approach. And we receive what he's done by faith. We always talk about by grace through faith. And it's what Jesus has won for us. And our faith is our yes to God. And we connect with the Lord by grace through faith. And one of the ways to do this is through communion. We connect with the Lord. We commune with him. It's in the name. And we respond to him in a personal way with thanksgiving. I'm telling you, it's personal. And even corporately, when we practice communion corporately, in which we will today, it's a interacting with Him. That's a good description. Do you see that? It's interacting with Him. And so when you let it be, when you let communion be communing with Him the way He's designed it to be, you're enriched in Him. You're enriched in Him because that's His desire for you. He wants, He loves interaction, and He wants to connect, and the Lord's table is one of the ways that He has to do that. We're enriched by Him. Personally, we're enriched by Him. Is that good? That's good news? And so your approach and your mindset is very, very important in this, and we're going to look at a couple scriptures right quick. Little John 3, yeah, Little John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Now, some people have kind of approached me and said, you know, that's John's prayer. That's not, but I want to tell you, this is the Word of God. And you need to look at it like this is the heart and the desire and the will of God. This is the Word of God. He's praying the heart, desire, and will of God for you. That's a good way to look at that, okay? And so he says, well-loved ones, and by the way, you are well-loved. He said, I pray that you may prosper in every way. And so the Lord wants to love on you in every way. That's a good way to look at that. He wants you to be a success in every way, but He wants to love on you in every way. And that your body may keep well. See, He's concerned about the physical part of you. And even as I know your soul, see, I know. In other words, it's presumed, it's assumed, it's to be understood that this is the priority, that your soul keeps well and prospers. And so that's very, very important for us to see. And it just says that the Lord, He wants to minister to us in our soul, and He wants to minister to us in our body, and He wants to minister to us in every way. Does that sound like a loving Father? Because it is. And Proverbs 14 and 30, I've been sharing this with some pastors and some saints. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Wow. You see, there's a connection. And when you allow the Lord to minister to you on the inside, it affects your body. It affects your life. It's life to you. And Proverbs 4 talks about that His Word is life to all of our flesh, all of your being. His Word is life to us. Is that beautiful? And so this is the way to receive life and health and to walk in His life and His health. We want healing, don't we? I do too. There's still areas I need healing in. But I want to tell you, I'm more interested in divine health, aren't you? I'm telling you, I think that's a treasure from the Lord. Because if you don't have your health, how are you going to minister? Can you enjoy your journey without health? Well, I want to tell you, it's very important, and it's important to Him. I want you to see that. And so this is a way of life, abundant life. But there's also, and look at the opposite of this, the envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness to the bones. And so there are damaging emotions. And this is something I'm going to do a series on after the first of the year. I've already done a little work on it. But it's how to put the brake on emotions. Is that what we decided? How to put the brake on emotions. Because there are destructive emotions. And we're not to go there. We're to focus on life. And Jesus is life. Amen? But don't you love that about a calm and undisturbed mind? Because the Lord's promising when we keep our heart, our mind on Him, He will cause us to have perfect peace. That's Jesus. And only Jesus can do that. A doctor so-and-so can't do that. If we look to people, to humans to do that, you're going to be disappointed. We need to look to Jesus. He's our personal shepherd, and He's the one that can make this life to us. And so God's heart for you is a long, good, healthy life. Can we see that in the Word of God? Yes. And He's promised long life, and He wants us to have long life. And we've had the joy of seeing a number of people healed. Now, I get tickled. Matter of fact, we've gotten back reports from doctors that said, well, it's a spontaneous remission. Well, that just tickles the far out of me. I like to hear them say that. And I want to thank God that there's believing doctors out there. And we had one just a few months ago say this, that it was the great physician that touched you. We didn't do anything on this. Now, don't you love hearing that, huh? I mean, that, we give God praise for that. And so this is what Jesus' life does. And this is why we encourage you. You just fall in love with Jesus, and you become immersed in his word, and you let the kingdom life reproduce in you. And Jesus' life in you will make the world go, wow. That's real Jesus' life. Will make the world go, wow, and the lost go, wow. And make them say, I want what you have. And you say, it's Jesus. And so this is the believer's report. When the world's going wow, the lost are going wow, we do this. That's our Lord. That's the way he is. This is normal Christian living. Not subnormal. This is normal Christian living. And that's our Lord. And he's the great I am. And the great I am means he's more than enough. Don't you love that? I do too. Not everyone's healed. Now, I'm not one of those people that stand up and proclaim, you know, that everybody we prayed for, it's not that way. No, but it's not going to keep us from keep praying. And, but you know, we're seeing more healed than ever before. And that encourages us, right? But if we don't see someone healed, that doesn't discourage us. You know, our goal in praying for people is to make sure they know that Jesus loves them and we're loving on them. And I want to tell you, if we agree and practice that, heaven celebrates and Jesus gets honor and glory. And so that's our heartbeat on this. But let me be quick to say this. There's some things about healing that we're learning. And part of it is that there's principles. There's principles in healing. There's principles in faith. There's principles in hope. And I know that in a lot of places, it just seems like it's a roll of the dice where you just say, Lord, if it's your will, heal that person. Well, there's a lot more strategic prayers than that. But there's principles of operation. Just like there's principles of operation when it comes to electricity, there's principles of operation when it comes to faith and hope and love and praying. And I want to tell you, when we begin to learn those principles and we operate, I want to tell you what principles are. It's described in the Old Testament. Moses knew the ways of God. It's knowing his ways. And his ways are not human ways a lot of times. And they don't make human sense. Okay, but, we practice by faith, and we're learning some things. Do we know it all? No, but we're learning some things on this. And I just want to say to encourage pastors that are listening and saints, too, that you know what? We can get our hopes up because we are in the last days, and in the last days, we're going to see, but this is so exciting, I can't already say it, we're going to see an exponential increase of kingdom life on the earth. I believe there's going to be a great harvest before the Lord returns, and we get to get in on it. Man, I want that to encourage you. And I know that, you know, there's reports, well, it's just getting darker and darker out there. Well, the darker it gets, the brighter the light is. Come on. This is our time to shine. And let me encourage you with this. There's more and more sin abounding. But where sin abounds, grace much more. Much more abounds. That's the power of the kingdom of God. We get to be in on this. So I encourage you, don't sit on the sidelines. Man, it's way too exciting. God's so good. We got to get in on it while we got a chance. I could stay there. Let me be quick to say this. When Jesus heals someone, he's just being his wonderful, loving Savior that he is. It's just Jesus loving on his people, doing what he loves to do. You know what he loves to do more than anything else is love on you. And you know what? I got to tell you this. We don't make a big to-do about healing. If you were here to interview these pastors and these people, you know we don't do the big circus, caravan, parade whenever someone's healed. We don't do that. We don't make a big to-do over healing. Now, we make a big to-do over salvation. Okay, man, we do some shouting when somebody gets saved. We just had a little lady the other day receive Christ. Man, we rejoice. Okay, and we rejoice and we celebrate because, you know what, it's a birthday. It is, it's a birthday. And you know what we celebrate? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, heaven rejoices. Heaven makes a big deal over just one that repents. And so, man, we do too. We park there, amen? And that's a lot of fun. And we love to see waves in the baptistry, amen? We really do. That's a lot of fun. But we encourage saints, and this is part of a key part of our message, is that we encourage saints to esteem Jesus over problems. And I want to tell you, it's a simple, simple principle, but it's so life-changing. It's such a game-changer when we focus on Jesus and we esteem Jesus over our problems. When we focus on the promises instead of the problems, then I want to tell you something, life flows. And we see victory take place, and we know that it's not our effort, it's the Lord's battle. But there's something that happens when we esteem Jesus over our problems. But let me rush to say this too. We also encourage people to esteem Jesus over healings. We esteem Jesus over miraculous provisions. And we saw some of that this week. We esteem Jesus over miracles, over deliverance. And there's reason behind that. Matter of fact, Luke 10:20 says this. Jesus is telling the little missionary teams that he sent out of disciples to go minister to the kingdom. And they were so excited, and they come back rejoicing. And they come back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. And so what Jesus is saying is that, yes, there's going to be manifestations of power, but your rejoicing needs to be on that you are saved. In other words, we rejoice in our Savior, in Jesus. We rejoice because everything that happens in us and through us is a result of what He's done. It's the position of forgiveness, and the position of forgiveness is our position of rightness in the Lord. That allows the Lord to do what He wants to do in us and through us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a gift. It's given to us when we receive Christ. And so we're celebrating our position of salvation in Him. Do you see that? And so that's very, very important. And also we want to encourage people that when you do see a miracle or a provision or a deliverance or the Lord's divine protection, we got some great testimonies on that, that we're not supposed to be shocked. We're not supposed to be just overwhelmed, surprised that God did this, because that's what we've been praying for. That's what we believe for. And Jesus spoke, and the Bible actually tells off on the disciples. Mark 6:52 says this. And this has to do after the miracle of provision, the fish and the loaves. You remember when He took a little kid's lunch and fed thousands of people and baskets left over. And then the next thing you know, the next day, the disciples are in the boat, the storm. And boy, I'll tell you, they were glad, the Bible says. I'd like to go there, but I don't have time. They were glad to invite Jesus in the boat. And there's a message in that. Be glad and invite Jesus in your boat. Be sure He's in the boat during your storm, because Jesus spoke and stilled the storm, and they were so amazed. The Bible says they were so overwhelmed. They were so surprised, so blessed, so overwhelmed by this miracle. And the Bible tells us why. Because they failed to consider or understand the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. Look at this. You say, how does one affect the other? Well, when He did the miracle of the loaves, He revealed to His disciples, I am. As a matter of fact, when he showed up on the water, he announced, I am. Be not afraid. Cheer up, he said. It is I am. And so this is what they forgot. Now I want to tell you, that's our problem. We forget. Hey, we got to remember, friends. The more we remember that he's the great I am and keep that at the foremost, the center of our hearts. But see, the Bible says they have forgot all about that. Because of the storm that took place and fear that took place, their hearts had become callous. In other words, it had grown hard. They had become dull, and they had lost the power of understanding. I want to tell you, the Lord can show himself mighty to you and give you great revelation of him, but you go to camp fear, and you'll forget what you knew. And so I'm telling you, this is important. You know, if it's what we've been praying for, it's what we've been believing for, then don't be shocked. You know what you do? You say, we like to say, well, that's just like the Lord, isn't it? That's just like him. He loves to do that. He loves to manifest himself in that way. And so when you give a testimony, and Patrick did a good job of this today. We heard an amazing, miraculous testimony, what God's done and doing in his life. But I want to tell you, when you give a testimony, be sure and let it be about him and not about you. We have to coach people about that sometimes. But see, he needs to be the center. We need to let Jesus be the glory. And when we let Jesus be the glory, listen to me. He's free to do more. We rejoice in him. He's our salvation. He gives us the position of rightness in him. It's his works, and we get the privilege of being a part of what he's doing. Isn't that great? Our part is to teach and encourage one another that let's submit to the Lord, and let's cooperate with his word, let's apply his word, and let's practice his works. Christians, we're receivers, not achievers. There's a big difference in that. And if we're trying to achieve something from God or talk him into it or win his influence to say yes, and I want to tell you that's flesh works, and that stinks in heaven. But I want to tell you, when we practice simply, childlike, by grace, through faith, by faith saying yes to the Lord and receiving it as a gift, heaven shouts. And God's free to do a whole lot more. So whatever giant you're facing, don't quit. Don't give up. If you need healing, then I want to tell you there's a key here. Get to know the healer. Get to know him. And I want to tell you, you ought to be saturating yourself in the word about healing because he's the healer. I get amazed sometimes people call and I try to love on them and minister to them, and they need healing, and they're in severe state. And I say, have you been in the Word? Oh, yes, yes, I'm in the Word. And so we go along. I say, well, what scripture has the Lord been speaking to you about through healing in the Word? Well, I don't really know. Isn't there a scripture about stripes? Now, boy, I want to tell you something. They're not in the Word. Because if you're in the Word, and you're saturating yourself in the Word flows, man. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and connects you to the Word. He shows you Jesus in the Word. And I want to tell you, if the people that are calling me asking for a scripture, they're not in the Word. There's a big difference in this. You need a financial breakthrough. Then let's study the Lord as the provider. Let's get to know him as the provider. If you have an addiction, boy, addictions come in this journey. But if you have an addiction, let's focus on knowing Jesus as the deliverer. If you're fighting fear, and let me say, there's no stone thrown at anybody fighting fear. As a matter of fact, there are seasons of attack. And in the last decade, I've dealt more with anxieties and fear in the body of Christ than I did the 3 decades before. Boy, I told you something there. But I'm telling you, there's seasons of attack. And so don't be embarrassed about it. There's no condemnation on it. But what I'm saying to you is that Jesus is your protector. And you get to know him as your protector. You get to know him as your shepherd of peace. And when you get to know him as your peace, then I want to tell you the fear goes. And so that's why we tell people, see Jesus in the Word. But you develop a relationship with your shepherd. It's not, and I know that there are places, and I don't agree with this, that say that, well, you just get this scripture and you just keep confessing this scripture to God and he's got to do it. No, it's not a formula. You don't use the Bible like a formula. And the Lord is not a genie that you rub. It's not something you use to try to work God. I want to tell you something. The Word is for you. And it's to change you and to transform you more into his image, where that you reprogram this computer to see yourself as God sees you. And when you see in your heart that he's already healed you, then that's hope. That's what hope is. And so you take that hope and you say yes to God. That's faith, saying yes to God for what he's shown you, what he wants to do and has done in your heart. And then it becomes visible. Do you see that? That's not complicated. That's simple. That's real. But I want to tell you, it's very, very possible. And I'm announcing this to you. I don't mean any harm by it, but it happens that if you seek his hand, you can miss his heart. But if you seek his heart, you got both hands. You got all that he is. And I want to tell you, there's God's so gracious and so merciful that we see him touch and bless and help people. But I want to tell you something. If you're missing the Savior and you do receive, you know what? It's very easy to lose what you've gained, because you've got to fill up that spot, that space, your heart with Jesus. If you don't fill it up with Jesus, then I want to tell you, you can lose what you've gained. I'm talking about blessings. Do you understand? He will reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him. God is good at the impossible. He's more than enough. He's the great I am, and all the saints said. So we're not limited by what we see or feel. Those things are temporary. And there's a greater reality in the kingdom of God, and it's the invisible, and it's now. Hebrews 11 says this, and I'm just going to hit it real quick because I've already really covered it. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance. It's the confidence. It's the knowing that you know and you know her. The confirmation and the title deed. This is what God says. It's God. It's yes. Of the things that we hope for. Now, look, hope comes first. This is why I'm telling you. I mean, look, when you receive that word of hope, that voice of hope inside of you, that this is what Jesus paid for you, and it's got your name on it. Now, that's an important part, because we can believe that God's doing this for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. But when the Holy Spirit shows you personally that this has your name on it, this promise has your name on it, then I want to tell you, it creates that picture in your imagination room of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is to you. And then that hope comes first. Now, at that point, hope is invisible. It's not visible. But I'm announcing to you that just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's not real. As a matter of fact, the invisible is a greater reality than the visible. Because the visible is all temporary. The invisible is eternal. Are you with me? Does this encourage you? And so, of things we do not see, being the proof of things we do not see yet, and the conviction of their reality, that this, we know this is God, and that he's got this with my name on it. Jesus paid for it. And then faith, perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And so let me just announce to you that your senses are temporary. Your senses focus on the visible. What we're talking about is seeing in the Word of God, seeing yourself in the mirror of the Word of God like God sees you and agreeing with it. Amen. That's pretty powerful. We're not limited by what we see or feel. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. Since we consider, now consider means to meditate on. Do you see that? Consider means to meditate on. And look, it's talking about our focus. We don't meditate on, and we don't focus on the things that are seen. All right, now this is what the enemy tries to do. This is a trick of the enemy to get you to focus on the visible and be discouraged. I'm telling you, we got to ground ourselves in Jesus and we got to look to Him and not meditate and not focus on the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. How do you do that? By the Word of God. By listening to the prompting of the Spirit. For the things that are visible are temporal, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Somebody shout amen. Well, a secret that you can start practicing right now is to do that simple principle of putting your eyes on Jesus and esteem Him over your problem or over your situation or over your pain. Yes, He's invisible, but He's eternal. And His promises, He's promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much that Jesus gave His own life for you on the cross. And the Bible says, will He withhold anything else? And so I'm telling you, it pleases God for you to believe the big and the small. He's paid for it all. I don't think I've ever said that. Somebody write that down. I like that. Those that don't see Him in the physical. Actually, that's where we are. We don't see Him in the physical. He's an invisible king, but He's a very real king. And He will be visible soon and very soon. Amen? But those that don't see Him in the physical have an advantage over those who walked with Him. Oh, Brother Tim, that's not so. If I could have only walked with Jesus on the sands and been with Him when He... No, I'm telling you, Jesus revealed to us that we have an advantage over them. Do you want to see that? Let's see. That's John. John 20:29. Jesus said to him, because you've seen Me, Thomas, do you now believe? Trust? Do you have faith? Blessed. Hey, He's talking about you. He's talking about me and you. Come on, get ready here. Blessed and happy and to be envied, because we have an advantage. Are those who have never seen Me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on Me. We are the advantaged ones. Wow, I'd like to stay there a while and explain to you a little bit about that. But religion, let me say this about a religion, and a lot of traditions of communion come out of religion. But let me say, religion does not know Father well. When Jesus came to earth, He came to a very religious society, but they didn't know Father. And He came to reveal what Father was really like to them. They didn't know. Religion says God wants you sick. Well, they accuse God of being a child abuser. Religion teaches that He wants to give you a lesson by giving you sickness. Now, look, that's not a good father. And Jesus came and told them that even you humans know how to do good to your children. Much more so, Heavenly Father, to be good to His. And so you never, ever one time see Jesus walking up to someone and say, oh, I was fixing to heal you, but I want to teach you a lesson. More leprosy on you. 10 more years, more leprosy. I'm going to teach you a lesson. No. See, that's not the heart of Father. Now, religion, the judging of flesh works by religion, would do something and say something like that, but Jesus never did. Those lies cause believers to befriend and settle for sickness in their life. The enemy uses that doubt, because I want to tell you, doubt is a big enemy of faith. It gives a faith a tug of war, and the enemy will use that doubt to keep people from receiving healing because they believe God gave it to them, or God wants them to have it because that's what religion said. Well, let me be crystal clear. God's not the author of sickness, disease, or death. Now, we battle with these things because we are on the fallen earth, and there's an enemy out there, and we walk in this flesh. But God's not the author of it. The destructive power of disease and death was released, and I want you to catch this because this is about communion, was released through the act of eating. Disobedience, deception. They surrendered the authority God had given them to Lucifer. That was in the last series. But when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, here's the bottom line. They said, you know, I've had people say, well, what's the big deal about the apple? Well, it wasn't an apple, it was a peach, okay? I like peaches. It had nothing to do with the, don't mark the fruit. You know what they did? They rejected God. And so it's a whole lot bigger deal than just fruit. They rejected God, and they submitted to Lucifer. Gave away the authority. And so that's very, very powerful. But listen at this now. When they ate from the act of eating in disobedience, disease, sickness, and death entered the human race, and that was not God's plan. And so get this now. Hold on to that. We, through the act of eating, wait a minute, from the tree of the cross, the finished works of Jesus, we receive grace and mercy. We receive of Him. And instead of disease, sickness, and death, we receive healing, health, and life. Come on. Man, I love that so much I want to say it again, and I'm running out of time. But I am telling you that, oh, I may say that again next week. That has been so good for me. I've been so waiting to say that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's the great news. Jesus is the cure. He died to remove our sins and to give us everlasting life. And everlasting life begins immediately when you receive Him. He paid the finished works, and in those works, He also paid for our healing with His own body. And so we're to remember the cure. That's part of what communion's about. We practice remembering the cure, receiving the cure, applying the cure. And through communion, we respond to the cure with thanksgiving. Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, which means the punishment that He paid to obtain our peace, and the punishment He took in order to gain our well-being for us, was upon Him. He took it upon Him. And with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. Is that beautiful? Now, I want to tell you, that's Bible. That's Old Testament prophesying about New Testament, and Jesus made it true. He paid for it. So get this now. He paid for our spiritual life. He prayed for our soul life, which so our soul will be well, the wellness of our soul. And He also paid for our physical life. Do you understand that God cares about the whole of you? A lot of places will preach that, you know, it's just spiritual. It's just spiritual. Well, yeah, it is spiritual. But that's sozo, which is means salvation, describes a whole lot more than just the spiritual. He paid the price for your soul to have wellness. Is it well with your soul? Remember what we covered in Little John, Little Third John 2:1. It covered that He wants your soul to prosper, to be successful, to be well. And so this is His heart. This is His desire. Let's believe all that He paid for. He deserves what He paid for. I think I've told the testimony, and those of you looking in may not have heard it, but I went to a parts store to pick up a pump to air up automobile tires. Because where I go fishing is way off on these ranches. Out there by myself, miles. I don't want to walk. I want to fish. And so I carry this little pump, and I'd given one away. And so I went to get another one, and I bought it. I got out to the truck, and I didn't even leave. I didn't even crank up my truck. And I realized on the back of the package it said, not for automobile tires. I said, well, that's not what I came to get. And so I go back in, and, you know, there was a long discussion, believe it or not, between the little girl and the manager of why I didn't want this. And so I just had to tell him eventually, that's not what I came to pay for. That's not what I want. That's not what I paid for one that will air up automobile tires. And he said, well, you haven't even tried it. How do you know it won't work? I said, because it says so on the back of the package. He said, oh, okay, let me get you another one. I said, that's what. And I get out to the truck, and I'm still a little wound up, you know. And I get out to the truck, and I just tell the Lord, I just wanted what I paid for. And the Lord whispered back to me, that's what I want. I want in my children what I paid for them to have. I just stayed in the truck a while. It was so good. Healing, provision, deliverance, protection. And there's more that we haven't even discovered yet. But I'm telling you, by His blood, He paid for our freedom from the punishment of sin. I think I said this the other week, but I've got to say it again. He punished our sin into non-existence. And also from the power of sin, which means that sin's not to rule and reign over us. If it is, good news. It doesn't have to be. We're free to receive. By grace, we're free to receive. And it pleases Him for us to receive. Father has a number of ways for us to receive through Jesus. Prayer faith. Faith is saying yes to God. Spiritual authority, exercising spiritual authority that He's given us. Speaking words of life on a situation. Saturating our minds with the Word of God and the kingdom life. Reproduces itself 30, 60, 100 fold. Boy, that means a lot. And also, He does by miracles. Little or big, they're expressions of His love. And also, not the least of these, but one of the ways is communion. I'm calling it this, the GPS system. God's promise system is communion. Hey, God's presence system through communion. Hey, how about this? God's power system through communion. We have the position to receive. I preached on the miracle of the loaves, you know, those amazing fish tacos right out of heaven. I've preached on that for 40-something years. But it was only about 2 years ago that I saw about the position that they were in to receive. It had never hit me. I preached it for 30-something years, never saw it, 40 years, never saw it till about 2 years ago. And this is what I saw because, and look, I'd just been meditating on the 23rd Psalm where He said, I will make them lie down in green pastures. It's interesting terminology. And so when it came time to minister to the thousands, Jesus said, make them sit down in this pasture. Now look, that may not mean a lot to you, but it said a lot to me because it was the position of rest. You see, it wasn't a position of being frantic and fearful and grunting and struggling. No, no, no. It was the position of rest. Where we receive is from the position of rest. And so I'm telling you, that ought to excite somebody because in the GPS system of communion, we come to the table in the position of rest, faith, trust, leaning on Him, and receiving. We're receivers, not achievers. Do you remember that? And so it's where the promise is delivered, and we say yes to His promises. And I want to tell you, I got another picture of this with the UPS guy back a while back because he pulled up in the front of the house. I'm out working on the front yard. He pulls up. I'm kind of excited, you know, because it's almost always something for my wife. That's true, really. But I was so excited, you know, so I kind of ease on up there, waiting to greet him, you know. Hey, hey, bring that good stuff on out here. He walked across the street. So he come back. I waited on him. I said, hey, you bring the good stuff to my house. He said, hey, I'll do my part. You do your part. I said, yeah. And man, on the way back, you know, the Lord's ministering to me. The Lord's done his part. He's ready to deliver. You know what he's waiting? On his saints to believe and to trust in and rely and to say yes to his promises, to put in the order, because the delivery system's up and ready to go. Wow. Well, that was probably more for me than you, but it really was really powerful for me. You can't receive till you put in the order. What are you believing for is the question right now. How am I doing on time? I've got plenty of time. You've heard me say, and you know this is a different sermon, isn't it? I'm just trying to lay some groundwork. But you've heard me say that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I want to tell you that's being just straight up honest truth. But this revelation regarding communion, I'm being honest with you, it took me decades to acknowledge and embrace. Now, I always knew. I'm telling you, I always knew, even from early on as a teenager, when I was at a church speaking, and the evangelist speaking, and they do communion, I'd think, you know, there's more to it than this. There's got to be more to it than this. I don't understand. It's more than a ritual, and it's more than a tradition. I knew that, but I'm just being honest and open with you. I didn't know what to do with it or how to do it. And I want to just tell you up front, I kept it on the back burner for decades. I repented. And I'm asking the body of Christ to forgive me. Now, I want to rush to the good stuff. The good stuff is this, is that what took me decades, you're going to receive in days. Does that excite you? I'm telling you, that's how heaven works. And heaven may call me the disciple. But I want to tell you, look, I don't have any excuse. I didn't hear this in Bible school, seminary, what I'm going to be sharing with you. I didn't hear it from pastors and churches I served in. But I want to tell you, there's no excuse. You know why? Because I had the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And we're to be lifetime learners. But the Lord lovingly courted me into some awakening about communion. And one of the ways that he did that is that, you know, whenever we would do communion, it was once a quarter, or what was it, Pastor, once every five Sundays or something. Lord help us. But there was times when people would get healed during communion. And I'd go, wow, really? A big man of faith. Really? You got healed during communion? Well, that's cool. Now, there also people get healed during praise, and you understand that. Praise, practicing his presence like that. And from the word going forth, the power of the word, and from praying for people and confessing the word, you know, the Lord has a number of ways to touch us, but I'm going to fast forward this story to about 3 years ago. And I know that Pastor Don will remember this because I remember him being there. But about 3 years ago, we had person after person come into the office, our huddle, we call it. And before church started, the pastors huddle up. And they came into the huddle. Do you remember this? They come in and said, so-and-so family won't be here today. They're sick. Okay. Do you remember this? And just moments later, somebody else came in and said, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so are sick. They won't be here. Really? And I want to tell you, it happened four or five times, one right after another, coming in and testifying that these people are sick. We got a lot of people sick this week, and so we're not going to have very many at church. And I want to tell you, it hit me. I had a holy mad. Do you understand holy mad? Ooh, I had a holy mad rise up in me. And for those of you that are more reformed, it's like a righteous indignation. But I had this holy mad rise up in me, and it came out of my mouth. I bet you remember this. It came out of my mouth. Is there any well among us? Because Peter said, is there any sick among you? Which speaks that the majority are walking in some health and healing. Can you find anybody sick? And what came out of my mouth in righteous indignation, is there anybody well? And I announced to the pastors that morning, we're going to pursue and learn about healing. And their response was not, hallelujah, praise God, it's about time. It came out like this, oh my. Here he goes again. And I want to tell you why they responded like that. Not because they're not men of faith, but I want to tell you this. Pastors and believers, saints, that we're infamous in heaven for walking in ditches. Kind of letting that sink in. When we keep Jesus the center and the focus, we avoid the ditches. But the tendency in church life is to go from one ditch to the other. We see one ditch where things are being obsessed or abused, and we say, oh, that's not right. Let's go way over here and walk in this ditch. And a ditch is nothing more than an open grave. But out of that, Holy Mad healing series came out. And I think what helped the pastors on the team more than anything else is I took them on a retreat and I said, look, the emphasis has got to be Jesus. And when we pray for people to be healed, I want people to know that we have loved on them with Jesus. The healing is God's part. Our part's to do the praying part and the believing part. Huh? And so prayer series came out of that, spiritual authority series. We just prayed. There was a series, Practices Presence. But I want to tell you something. Out of that, I started ministering communion every day to individuals and I started practicing ministering communion every Sunday to people that were sick or needy or wounded or people that just wanted communion. We'd set up shop before church, and sometimes I would minister communion 10, 15, 20 times a Sunday. And you say, well, why would you do that? Because we got to practice what we believe. If not, it's just religious talk. So we got to get out of the salt shaker. We got to pull the trigger. We got to jump off the diving board. Because Jesus said, now therefore you go. And the kingdom principle that's very, very important is that we learn by doing. And so for a couple of years, I ministered communion. And also I began practicing receiving communion personally every day. And during attacks or during struggles, sometimes I would practice communion a number of times a day. Still do. But sometimes when you're practicing communion and you're seeking the Lord, see, not as a ritual or a religious act, but reaching to touch the Lord and commune with the Lord during the process, then I want to tell you, you begin to learn some things. Not that I've learned it all or know it all, no. But I want to tell you, we begin to experience the power of His presence. We begin to experience a delivery system from the Lord of how the Lord loves to touch and love on people. And we would have testimonies on Sunday. I remember one particular Sunday, there was three particular groups that came up for communion, and their testimony was that I'm sick, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm burnt out, and what I really want to do is go home and get into bed. And after communion, after the service that day, all three groups came to look me up and say, look, I've been refreshed, I've been renewed, the Lord's invigorated me, the Lord's healed me. Now I want to tell you, that'll encourage you. As a result, we're seeing more touched, receiving by grace through faith, the personal ministry of Jesus during communion. Not the ministry of a pastor, because we got saints that are doing this on their own at home, but the ministry of Jesus. Now look, we don't have to ring the bell, everybody else rings. The Lord has set me free from that stuff years ago. But here's the deal. Our emphasis is low-key ministry. And I'm saying that because receiving from Jesus is not determined by a level of emotion, okay, or a loudness of a prayer, or the energy you're trying to project. I want to tell you, when it's low-key, you know what I mean by low-key ministry? Well, Pastor, it's real important. When I'm talking about low-key ministry, I'm talking about low emotional ministry. Because when we practice low-key ministry, the focus is on Jesus. When we practice high-key ministry, the focus is on man. There's a big difference there. I'm not saying that God can't touch people when it's high-key ministry. I've seen him do that. But I am telling you, our heartbeat is to focus on low-key ministry where Jesus gets the attention and not man. Now, let me declare what I'm not saying about communion, because I get, people don't understand sometimes. I'm not talking about something superstitious. I'm not talking about something magical. I am saying that there's some supernatural truths and blessings from following Jesus. And just like there's a blessing in giving. There is. There's a blessing in giving. It's a blessing to give. Thank you for all those that give. Thank you so much. You encourage us. You bless us. But I want to tell you, you get blessed when you give. You know, that's just Bible. That's God's heartbeat. Well, I want to tell you, when you practice communion and seek Jesus in communion, then I want to tell you, you're touched by him. He wants you to receive of him. It's not in the elements. It's in him. He paid for more on the cross than what we're walking in. And so let's look deeper than rituals and traditions. I don't care the way you've done it in the past, or how grandma did it, or the church you grew up in. Let's seek God afresh in this. Be motivated, because your approach makes a difference. Every time you see Jesus, see, that's why we tell people to focus on God in the Word. See God in the Word. Jesus taught us that with the Mr. and Miss Disciple on the way to Emmaus. He preached through the Old Testament, revealing himself through the Word. Isn't that powerful? And then he had communion with them, and their eyes were opened. And so I want to tell you, it's important to seek him, to see him. Every time we see him, we're changed. When you see Jesus, you're transformed. I don't know how many times he walked on water. I don't know how many times he calmed storms. Because we only have the highlights that the Holy Spirit's given us. I'm not talking about extra biblical stuff. As a matter of fact, John 21:25, I think it is, says this. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. And if they should all be recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain or have room for the books that would be written. So there's a whole lot that Jesus did, and a whole lot he said that we don't have. But we have highlighted what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. Amen? And so, but what I'm telling you, I don't know how many times he walked on water or calmed storms, but I want to tell you this. I know this, that he healed often. And Jesus is the perfect expression of Father. And the Bible says every village he stepped into, everywhere he went, he ministered life in a world that had death, sickness, and disease in it. Acts 10:38 says this, and I'm wrapped up. Oh, yeah, boy, this is great timing. I'm wrapped up. Look at this, Acts 10:38. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And so even though Jesus was God, he also ministered as an example of how we're to minister as humans with the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Okay, let's back up and say this. I'm going to say Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, the same Holy Spirit. Thank you, because when he baptized you in the body of Christ, it's the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus. Are you getting this? And with strength, someone say, same strength. And ability, someone say, same ability. And power, someone say, same power. How he went about doing good. Now, I want to tell you, there's a ministry of loving kindness. I'm telling you, you find a need and meet it. You find a hurt and heal it. You find an opportunity to minister love, you minister it. Loving kindness, whether it's big or small, and watch what God does out of it. But in particular, curing all. Do you see curing all? Someone say healed. Delivered all. Set free all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. Now, let me boldly declare this. God's with you. The Bible says you're complete in Christ. The very fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. Do you see that? He's in you, you're in him. Well, I'm telling you, we're joint heirs with Jesus. So he paid for us. Let's seek him and receive what he has for us. Let him love on you, and we'll do that through communion. It's a celebration of His works already done. We're to continually practice receiving. You know, Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so communion's a thanksgiving feast. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So it's a forget-me-not feast. Do you see that? Isn't that beautiful? Forget-me-not feast. It's a covenant meal. He says, His body was broken for you. The Bible says He took diseases and sickness and sorrows and griefs upon Himself. Those were your sorrows, your griefs, your sicknesses and disease. He took upon His own body. When you say He took upon, I mean He took them away. Wow, that's powerful. The blood of Jesus sets us free from sin. Forgiveness from the punishment and the power of sin. And sets us free to have freedom fellowship. We're free to have fellowship. That's why you can come to the table in spite of your report card. We come to the table based on the Lamb. He's a perfect Lamb. We come to the table based on His report card, and we have free fellowship with Him. Don't you love Him? Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that You'll open up our eyes and ears, open up our hearts to see You in communion and to see Your heart to touch us and to love on us and to minister in fresh ways with us. Thank You that You love to enrich us. Thank You, Lord, for the covenant meal. Thank You for the promises that they represent. And we give You praise. Lord, we want to know You better. And all the saints said, amen, amen, and amen.